Inventions and scientific inquiries. Franklin was a prodigious inventor. Among his many creations were the lightning rod, the glass harmonica, the Franklin stove, bifocal glasses, and the flexible urinary catheter. Franklin never patented his inventions. In his autobiography, he wrote, "As we enjoy great advantages from the inventions of others, we should be glad of an opportunity to serve others by any invention of ours. And this we should do freely and generously." His inventions also included social innovations, such as paying forward. As deputy postmaster, Franklin became interested in the North Atlantic Ocean circulation patterns which carried mail ships. Franklin worked with Timothy Folger, his cousin and experienced Nantucket whaler captain, and other experienced ship captains, learning enough to chart the Gulf Stream, giving it the name by which it's still known today. It took many years for British sea captains to follow Franklin's advice on navigating the current, but once they did, they were able to gain 2 weeks in sailing time. In 1743, Franklin founded the American Philosophical Society to help scientific men discuss their discoveries and theories. He began the electrical research that, along with other scientific inquiries, would occupy him for the rest of his life in between bouts of politics and money-making. In 1748, he retired from printing and went into other businesses. He created a partnership with his foreman, David Hall, which provided Franklin with half of the ship's profits for 18 years. This lucrative business arrangement provided leisure time for study, and in a few years, he had made discoveries that gave him a reputation with the educated throughout Europe and especially in France. His discoveries included his investigations of electricity. Franklin proposed that vitreous and resinous electricity were not different types of electrical fluid, as electricity was called then, but the same electrical fluid under different pressures. He was the first to label them as positive and negative, respectively. And he was the first to discover the principle of conservation of charge. In 1750, he published a proposal for an experiment to prove that lightning is electricity by flying a kite in a storm that appeared capable of becoming a lightning storm. On May 10, 1752, Thomas-Francois Dalibard of France conducted Franklin's experiment and extracted electrical sparks from a cloud. On June 15th, Franklin may have possibly conducted his famous kite experiment in Philadelphia and successfully extracted sparks from a cloud, although there are theories that suggest he never performed the experiment. Franklin's experiment was not written up until Joseph Priestley's 1767 History and Present Status of Electricity. The evidence shows that Franklin was insulated, not in a conducting path, since he would have been in danger of electrocution in the event of a lightning strike. Others, such as Professor Georg Wilhelm Reckmann of St. Petersburg, Russia, were electrocuted during the months following Franklin's experiment. In his writings, Franklin indicates that he was aware of the dangers and offered alternative ways to demonstrate that lightning was electrical, as shown by his use of the concept of electrical ground. If Franklin did perform this experiment, he did not do it in a way that is often described, flying the kite and waiting to be struck by lightning, as it would have been fatal. Instead, he used the kite to collect some electrical charge from a storm cloud, which implied that lightning was electrical. On October 19th, in a letter to England explaining directions for repeating the experiment, Franklin wrote, "When rain has wet the kite twine so that it can conduct the electric fire freely, you will find it streams out plentifully from the key at the approach of your knuckle, and with this key a file or Leyden jar may be charged, and from electric fire thus obtained spirits may be kindled, and all the other electric experiments performed, which are usually done by the help of a rubber glass globe or tube, and therefore the sameness of the electrical matter with that of the lightning completely demonstrated." Franklin's electrical experiments led to his invention of the lightning rod. He noted that conductors with a sharp rather than a smooth point were capable of discharging silently and at a far greater distance. He surmised that this knowledge could be in use in protecting buildings from lightning by attaching upright rods of iron, made sharp as a needle and gilt to prevent rusting, and from the foot of those rods a wire down the outside of the building into the ground. Would not these pointed rods probably draw the electrical fire silently out of a cloud before it came nigh enough to strike, and thereby secure us from the sudden and terrible mischief? Following a series of experiments on Franklin's own house, lightning rods were installed on the Academy of Philadelphia, later the University of Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania State House, later Independence Hall, in 1752. In recognition of his work with electricity, Franklin received the Royal Society's Copley Medal in 1753, and in 1756 he became one of the few 18th-century Americans to be elected as a Fellow of the Society. The CGS unit of electric charge has been named after him. 1 Franklin FR is equal to 1 stat coulomb. On October 21, 1743, according to popular myth, a storm moving from the southwest denied Franklin the opportunity of witnessing a lunar eclipse. Franklin was said to have noted that the prevailing winds were actually from the northeast, contrary to what he had expected. In correspondence with his brother, Franklin learned that the same storm had not reached Boston until after the eclipse, despite the fact that Boston is to the northeast of Philadelphia. He deduced that storms do not always travel in the direction of the prevailing wind, a concept which would have great influence in meteorology. Franklin noted a principle of refrigeration by observing that on a very hot day he stayed cooler in a wet T-shirt in a breeze than he did in a dry one. To understand this phenomenon more clearly, Franklin conducted experiments. On one warm day in Cambridge, England, in 1758, Franklin and fellow scientist John Hadley experimented by continually wetting the ball of a mercury thermometer with ether and using bellows to evaporate the ether. With each subsequent evaporation, the thermometer read a lower temperature, eventually reaching 7 Fahrenheit, negative 14 Celsius. Another thermometer showed the room temperature to be consistent at 65 Fahrenheit, 18 Celsius. In his letter, Cooling by Evaporation, Franklin noted that, "One may see the possibility of freezing a man to death on a warm summer's day." Musical Endeavors. Franklin is known to have played the violin, the harp, and the guitar. He also composed music, notably a string quartet in early classical style, and invented a much improved version of the glass harmonica, in which each glass was made to rotate on its own, with the player's fingers held steady instead of the other way around. This version soon found its way to Europe. Public life. In 1736, Franklin created the Union Fire Company, one of the first volunteer firefighting companies in America. In the same year, he printed a new currency for New Jersey based on innovative anti-counterfeiting techniques which he had devised. As he matured, Franklin began to concern himself more with public affairs. In 1743, he set forth a plan for the Academy and College of Philadelphia. He was appointed president of the Academy on November 13, 1749, and it opened August 13, 1751. At its first commencement, on May 17, 1757, 7 men graduated, 6 with a Bachelor of Arts, 1 with a Master of Arts. It was later merged with the University of the State of Pennsylvania to become the University of Pennsylvania. In 1753, both Harvard and Yale awarded him honorary degrees. In 1751, Franklin and Dr. Thomas Bond obtained a charter from the Pennsylvania legislature to establish a hospital. Pennsylvania Hospital was the first hospital in what was to become the United States of America. Franklin became involved in Philadelphia politics and rapidly progressed. In October 1748, he was elected as a councilman. In June 1749, he became a justice of the peace for Philadelphia. In 1751, he was elected to the Pennsylvania Assembly. August 10, 1753, Franklin was appointed Joint Deputy Postmaster General of North America. His most notable service in domestic politics was his reform of the postal system, but his fame as a statesman rests chiefly on his subsequent diplomatic services in connection with the relations of the colonies with Great Britain and later with France. In 1754, he headed the Pennsylvania delegation to the Albany Congress. This meeting of several colonies had been requested by the Board of Trade in England to improve the relations with the Indians and defense against the French. Franklin proposed a broad plan of union for the colonies. While the plan was not adopted, elements of it found their way into the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution. In 1756, Franklin organized the Pennsylvania Militia. He used Tun Tavern as a gathering place to recruit a regiment of soldiers to go into battle against the Native American uprising that beset the American colonies. Reportedly, Franklin was elected colonel of the associated regiment, but declined the honor. In 1757, he was sent to England by the Pennsylvania Assembly as a colonial agent to protest against the political influence of the Penn family, the proprietors of the colony. He remained there for 5 years, striving to end the proprietors' prerogative to overturn legislation from the elected assembly and their exemption from paying taxes on their land. His lack of influential allies in Whitehall led to the failure of this mission. In 1759, the University of St. Andrews awarded him an honorary degree of law. 1762, Oxford University awarded Franklin an honorary doctorate for his scientific accomplishments, and from then on, he went by Dr. Franklin. He also managed to secure a post for his illegitimate son, William Franklin, as colonial governor of New Jersey. During his stay in London, Franklin became involved in radical politics. He was a member of the Club of Honest Whigs, alongside thinkers such as Richard Price. In 1756, Franklin became a member of the Society for the Encouragement of Arts, Manufactures, and Commerce, now Royal Society of Arts, or RSA, which had been founded in 1754, and whose early meetings took place in coffee shops in London's Covent Garden district, close to Franklin's main residence in Craven Street, the only one of his residences to survive, and which opened to the public as the Benjamin Franklin House Museum, January 17, 2006. After his return to America, Franklin became the Society's corresponding member and remained closely connected with the Society. The RSA instituted a Benjamin Franklin Medal in 1956 to commemorate the 250th anniversary of Franklin's birth and the 200th anniversary of his membership of the RSA. During his stays at Craven Street in London between 1757 and 1775, Franklin developed a close friendship with his landlady, Margaret Stevenson, and her circle of friends and relations, in particular her daughter Mary, who was more often known as Polly. In 1759, he visited Edinburgh with his son, and recalled his conversations there as the densest happiness of my life. He also joined the influential Birmingham-based Lunar Society, with whom he regularly corresponded and on occasion visited in Birmingham in the West Midlands. Coming of Revolution. In 1763, soon after Franklin returned to Pennsylvania, the western frontier was engulfed in a bitter war known as Pontiac's Rebellion. The Paxton Boys, a group of settlers convinced that Pennsylvania's government was not doing enough to protect them from the American Indian raids, murdered a group of peaceful Susquehannock Indians and then marched on Philadelphia. Franklin helped to organize the local militia in order to defend the capital against the mob, and then met with the Paxton leaders and persuaded them to disperse. Franklin wrote a scathing attack against the racial prejudice of the Paxton Boys. "If an Indian injures me," he asked, "does it follow that I may revenge that injury on all Indians?" At this time, many members of the Pennsylvania Assembly were feuding with William Penn's heirs, who controlled the colony as proprietors. Franklin led the anti-proprietary party in the struggle against the Penn family, and was elected Speaker of the Pennsylvania House in May 1764. His call for a change from proprietary to royal government was a rare political miscalculation, however. Pennsylvanians worried that such a move would endanger their political and religious freedoms. Because of these fears and because of political attacks on his character, Franklin lost his seat in the October 1764 assembly elections. The anti-proprietary party dispatched Franklin to England to continue the struggle against the Penn family proprietorship. But during this visit, events would drastically change the nature of his mission. In London, Franklin opposed the 1765 Stamp Act, but he was unable to prevent its passage. He made another political miscalculation and recommended a friend to the post of stamp distributor for Pennsylvania. Pennsylvanians were outraged, believing that he had supported the measure all along and threatened to destroy his home in Philadelphia. Franklin soon learned of the extent of the colonial resistance to the Stamp Act, and his testimony before the House of Commons led to its repeal. With this, Franklin suddenly emerged as the leading spokesman for American interests in England. He wrote popular essays on behalf of the colonies, and Georgia, New Jersey, and Massachusetts also appointed him as their agent to the crown. In September 1767, Franklin visited Paris with his usual traveling partner, Sir John Pringle. News of his electrical discoveries were widespread in France. His reputation meant that he was introduced to many influential scientists and politicians, also to King Louis XV. While living in London in 1768, he developed a phonetic alphabet in a scheme for a new alphabet and a reformed mode of spelling. This reformed alphabet discarded six letters Franklin regarded as redundant, C, J, Q, W, X, and Y, and substituted six new letters for sounds he felt lacked letters of their own. His new alphabet, however, never caught on, and he eventually lost interest. In 1771, Franklin traveled extensively around the British Isles, staying with, among others, Joseph Priestley and David Hume. In Dublin, Franklin was invited to sit with the members of the Irish Parliament rather than in the gallery. He was the first American to be given this honor. While touring in Ireland, he was moved by the level of poverty he saw. Ireland's economy was affected by the same trade regulations and laws of England which governed America. Franklin feared that America could suffer the same effect should Britain's colonial exploitation continue. In 1773, Franklin published two of his most celebrated pro-American satirical essays, Rules by Which a Great Empire May Be Reduced to a Small One, and An Edict by the King of Prussia. He also published an abridgment of the Book of Common Prayer, anonymously with Francis Dashwood. Among the unusual features of this work is a funeral service reduced to 6 minutes in length, to preserve the health and lives of the living.